tradition has overcome the Rishi and the Mani. Sanyashindu Devani Rokulam Na Shimaju Prasho and please start by watching your breath. And please ask your heart lama to come. Sit in front of you. And bow down to them, namaskara, by thinking of some quality that they have that you would like to develop. and make them an offering of something good you've done in the last few days. Try not to move. And think of something you'd like to purify before you start your meditation. And tell your lama in your mind. And think of something you're proud of, some good seed you planted, and make it stronger by appreciating what you've done. Think of how you'd like to be different when this retreat is finished and you're ready to go home. What change would you like to see made in your life starting next week? And ask your lama to help you. And ask your lama to stay near and guide you. please come back to your breath. Keep your mind up against your breath. Try not to move. Try to bring your mind to the present moment. Try to watch your mind. Keep it to the present moment, this place, this time, these friends. Then watch your breath and your prana moving along a pathway of liquid glass from the spot between your legs up to the spot between your eyebrows into your skull. And think of someone who needs strength, who needs energy, who has trouble getting things done in their life. And match your prana to their prana. Match the flow of the liquid glass to theirs. And support their flow up and down their spine to the spot between their forehead. And we'll sit here for a while and just breathe with them, help them, send them strength. Then slowly come back to your breath, physical breath. Ask your Lama to come into your heart. And then open your eyes, stretch. So I had a really fun time last night, and I would like to thank Venerable Akasha, who headed the and all his team. I think Venerable Jigme did a lot, and all the Venerables. And the design team, Rosa, Marchipani, Nancy Karen, very beautiful. It was really nice. I really had a good time. So, okay. Okay, back to Lord Atisha. So really the first Lam Rim in Tibet, the light on the path to enlightenment, Bodhipatta Pradipa, was written really as a response to some questions, okay, by the king. Just after Lord Atisha composed the Lam Rim and started teaching it to people, all the weird practices that have been going on in Tibet, Rang Yel Tsong means they just kind of, what do you call it? Went away. They kind of, what's another, they kind of just like, they vanished. You know, they just went away. And I think you find that sometimes we go someplace and there's a lot of weird ideas going on and a lot of weird books and some weird teachings going on. And then once people get a taste of the pen and they get a taste of, you know, some nice meditations and something based on kindness that makes sense, then the other stuff, you don't have to fight with people, you just teach what you've learned because it's beautiful and it's authentic and it helps people. And then all the weird stuff just kind of floats away. Nobody wants to do weird stuff if they have something that's authentic and beautiful, you know, and it helps people. I don't think it's useful to spend any time disputing with people or like that. You know, you just offer what you have, and if it's nice and beautiful, and if it makes sense, then weird stuff will just, you don't have to fight it. It will just kind of float away. I call it spiritual Darwinism. You know, people will try different things, and then the things that work will survive, and the things that don't work will just go away. So Lord Atisha spent time in Ngari, in West Tibet, the kingdom, the ancient... By the way, Ladakh, those of you who've been to Ladakh, that's just a leftover of the Ngari kingdom. That's like a little... That's the edge of the Ngari kingdom that didn't get wiped out, you know. So he taught a lot there. Gyatso Dzogne spread the Dharma. Then Lodzum Dzog Nyewana. They got close to the end of the 3 years. Okay. Lodzawa la Netengi Damzig la Karwe na Yepe Lodzawa. Then Naksal Lodzawa is the one who made the promise, right? He swore to bring Lord Adishan back before the end of 3 years. Then he started to get nervous. Then he's like, he sent Lord Atisha a letter or something, a message, and he said, "You know, it's about time to go now. You know, time to go back." Joala ngane jatsin dume. Sorry, joya kyan detarjun patar chete. Jo means Lord Atisha. It means the Lord. Okay, only he is called Joa. Jetsu Kapa is called Jay, which also means Lord, but Jo is Atisha's. Everybody calls him Jo. They don't call him Atisha. Okay. Jimba, you know, you got to help me out here. Jimba means to go, like Peppa. Jimba Tarche. Tar. Tar. Tabu. Not par. Tar. Tabu. Not tar, tabu, che. It's dawa, like dawa, shin. What's that mean? Like, he made as if to go. Okay, there's a little syllable there, and you gotta be sensitive to it. Jimba tar che. It didn't say he got ready to go. It says he got ready as if to go. Okay, that's nice. Pusheng Dupep. Then he went to Pusheng. Pusheng is the capital of the state of Ngari. So it's a town. Jo Ngane Jetsun Drume Pudu Genyan Chembo Shila. So he started to go towards the border, Nepalese border. Jo Ngane Jetsun Drume Pudu Genyan Chembo Shila Dene Demba La Chak. Pemba Gyachembo Ongshe Yanda Yander Sungshing. Then Atisha was thinking, you know, didn't Tara tell me that I was supposed to meet up with some special little Upasika? Where's my Upasika? Okay, where's my lifetime layman's vow holder, extraordinary special helper guy? Yanda Yander Sungshing. Dekab Kyan Genyan Nyur Do Ongshe Yanda Yang Sumbe. And then Droma kept telling him, "Oh, he's almost here. He's coming soon. He's coming soon." Sumbe Joje Nyintar Chara Chara. Those of you who know Tibetan, you got to be careful with Jara. Jara means to do. Chara means to be on the lookout. It's a totally different word. So Jara means he. By the way, it's often used with a certain mental function called in meditation. Shishin. It's often used as a synonym for shishin. Jara. Say jara. Jara. Yeah. Jara. Meaning the part of your mind that you split off to watch the rest of your mind is also called jara sometimes. It means the lookout. Okay. He was on the lookout for his upasika. Nge upasipa machung. Tare dzun ni chan sum. I don't think Tara could tell a lie, but I didn't see any upasika show up. One day, Lord Atisha was invited to a sponsor's home for a meal. Shildu, Drom Rinpoche Pep. After he had left his where the place he was staying, Dromten Jay showed up. Okay, Dromten is the little helper guy, the facilitator. He's the most famous facilitator in Buddhism. Okay, next to John Stewart. Okay, John Rinpoche Pe, he came. Joel Simgandu Pepana. Then he arrived. He came into the bed, the sleeping quarters. George and Dashi ki den dan somewhere da da pe. Then his students told Drumton J. His students told Drumton J, oh, he's gone to somebody's house for lunch. Okay? Sponsor's house for lunch. Then he's going to be back right away, and you can wait for him. Then hang on. Drumden Jay said, if I had to choose to wait another minute to meet my Lama, I would rather leave and try to find him. So he took off into the streets because he didn't want to wait an extra minute. Okay. Man. Then he met him in an alley. And he did a full prostration in the alley. Then it looks like they went to the sponsor together. First, Atisha put his hand on. Put his hand on Drumden Jay's head and recited some verses in Sanskrit. Many, many verses of auspiciousness. And then they went to the sponsor's house and he brought along Drumden Jay. When he got there, he said, my upasika here, and he needs a kelwa. Kelwa, you see, here's the original meaning of kelwa. We know kelwa, it means enough goodness in your heart to have special stuff happen to you. But here's the original meaning, means he needs a share of the offerings today. You know, my upasik is going to need a share. It's Bhagavan to have a share, okay? Good, say, not namne yapadainam. Then he... Sometimes you could read it as he went to the sponsors before and he knew the upasika was coming and he asked for the share before he met Drumton Jay on the way back. Okay? This is a beautiful thing. Just Padma Kumbhache has just mentioned something. Shamisa. What's that mean? Shamisa. Mi means... not sa, means to eat. Sha, meat. It says, Atisha never eat meat. Okay? He just says it in passing, right? Tibetan monks for 1,000 years have eaten meat. You know? And when you press a Tibetan monk about why they eat meat, some monks will say you can't grow vegetables in Tibet, which is not exactly true. Some will say, in ancient times, you were a bhikshu, a beggar, and you held out your bowl, and whatever someone put in your bowl, you took it and you ate it, right? But nowadays, nobody goes begging in Tibet. Monasteries are very strong, powerful. They own a lot of the land. They used to. And they can buy whatever they want. They buy their own food, you see? So... So then, I don't know, in recent years, I think a little bit from pressure by Westerners, a lot by pressure from Indians, local Indian people in the refugee monasteries, there's been a lot of pressure to stop eating meat, at least during the ceremonies, public ceremonies, that other people might come, and then especially Indian people would be offended if they were eating meat. And the way they deliver meat in the monasteries, they throw a dead sheep in the trunk of a car. And they drive through the monastery yelling, meat. And then you say, it's like the ice cream truck. And And then they open up the trunk, and here's this like 3-day-old carcass, you know, and they cut off a piece, and then half the monks get sick from that. Because there's no legal way to kill meat in India. I mean, there's a few legal slaughterhouses in Delhi or something, which are always being closed down by public protest. But there's no legal way to sell meat and kill meat. And so it's just all black market meat. So anyway, lately, at least Sarah May has agreed not to serve meat in the temple, you know, and that's nice. That's good. Anyway, so it was very unusual that it meant that Ati Shah was not eating meat on principle, because everybody else would have been eating meat. Okay, Namyang Shami Shempe, Denyengi Dunkel Dela Senda Mar Dagne. On that particular day, so the sponsor had offered, it sounds like Sampa and butter. So Sampa and butter. Butter they also deliver in a sheep intestine, but that's another thing. Dragne Yepa Dromke Sende She. So Dromten Jay ate the. He ate the Sampa. Then he took the butter and he made a butter lamp. And he lit it that night. And he placed it at the head of Lord Atisha's bed, next to his pillow. Okay, and it burned all night. And then, for the rest of his life, he offered one every night at the pillow of his lama. Okay, where? Tennis. He never missed a night. I tried that one time. I ended up missing a bunch of nights. Okay. Randa Dharma Machela Wangkode. Then Numo De Rang, on that very evening that they met, Lord Atisha granted Dromden Jay Tantric initiation as his spiritual son. Okay. As his main spiritual son. Wait. Okay. We might get through this or not. Then Purengne Shimgi Pepte. They went south towards the Tibet, towards the Indian border, right? Mangyu Kidong Pep. They reached a place called Kidong in Mangyu. Dene Peyu Gyu De Gyaga Du Denden Si Che Kyang. Then the plan was that they would escort Lord Atisha to India through Nepal. Kyang Lam Du Mak Sing Chambal Langbe. But the road was blocked by a major military confrontation. Somebody was fighting somebody. There was a battle going on, and the road was completely blocked. No roads to India were available. Then Dromte Jay was like, what do you call it? When someone's in the Congress, you're trying to get the Congress to do something, big businesses. Oh, yeah, Dromte Jay was lobbying to turn back to Tibet. Okay, let's go back to Tibet, you know. Nakso ni gyaga du denden tabzorze. Then Nakso Lotsawa, he took the vow in front of this high lama, you know, he said, he was advocating returning, you know, trying to find some other road or like that. Denden tabzorze. Lamgi matruki denden matupa, Lotsawa chida la tute yi lonomba gyepana. Then there's this picture. You have to get in your mind this picture of Nakso Lotsawa having a crisis, like he's having a mental crisis, you know, and he's long, his mind got long, he was like, I don't know what to do, you know, and he was torn, and he was confused, and he was upset. He had a decision facing him. And it was too much, you know. And he was like going cuckoo, you know. So then, Joe, Lord Sawala did some semle migo. Then Atisha said, "Don't worry about it. You know, don't go crazy. It's not your fault. You tried to take me back, and you couldn't take me back." Okay. So I was thinking, this is a. When I travel the world, we travel the world. I see a lot of sem long longbos. You know, there's a lot of people doing this long longbo thing. You know, they're like worried all the time, and they have decisions to make, and they are troubled. And there's people who are immediately troubled, meaning they just lost their job, or you know, they got to decide whether to have an abortion or not, or hard stuff, big stuff. And they're all longbo about it. You see what I mean? And they're having very... Then there's the rest of the population, many of whom have a longbo going on deeper. They have life decisions going on a deeper level. And worries and decisions to make, you see? And then... And they often come to me with options. You know, they come to me with an option. They say, should I try to push on through the battlefield with this Atisha, or should I turn back to Tibet? You know, they come to me with these. Pretty much, that's all people want to talk to me about. No, and that's natural, and that's I want to help. That's my job, right? So, we go to Bulgaria. People I don't know, you know, 20 people I don't know will stand there in line, and they'll ask me, should I do this or should I do that? And then, in the system of karmic seeds, right? In our lineage, those are false questions. They're all false questions. You see, it's the what do you call it? Red lipstick versus pink lipstick question. Lancome or what's the other one? I forget. It sounds like Calvin Klein, but it's not Calvin Klein. Sephora is where you buy it. Anyway, there's another one. Clinique, yeah, Clinique is good. Yeah, so Clinique, you're in Sephora, and you have a choice between Clinique or Lancome, right? And then people are always asking me these questions, you know, and I'm like, look. Just plant the real cause, and then relax. Okay, just relax. You see, they're like, I don't see watermelons coming up in my garden. Just plant one. Turn on the. I have a timer on a drip system. Turn on the drip system. Plant the watermelon seeds. Throw some phosphorus stuff on there, and then go to Bulgaria, and relax. And when you come home, there'll be a big watermelon there. You see, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to sit there and... All the worries in your life are useless. They're all irrelevant. There's no reason to do that. And it breaks my heart. I walk around the world and so many people are worried about stuff. Should I use Clinique? Should I use Estée Lauder? You know, where am I going to find my boyfriend? Should I do this or should I do that? What am I going to do with my life? And it's all this. The tragedy is it's not necessary to worry. There's no reason. There's no reason at all. Once you understand planting seeds, you just plant the seeds, and then just relax. Just you know, chill, sit back and relax. The result will come. You can't stop it. Okay, you can't. I wanted to go to Paris. I told my assistants. There's only one place in the world where I would invite myself, you know? And they said, where? And I said, Paris, you know? I want to go to Paris. Nobody's inviting me. I mean, at that time. Then they're like, well, how are we going to get there, you know? And I said, well, let's plant a seed, you know? So I planted all these seeds. Then we went to Jakarta. And we gave a talk on Chinese TV. And there's a French businessman there. And like, Rossetti says, you're French? says, yes, we. Then she says, okay, and she like grabs him, you know. And then he turns out to be the head of the Chamber of Commerce of Southern Paris. Okay, and he's like, you guys got it. He heard the talk, and then he's like, you got to come, you know. And then we went, and we had a really good time, and we gave a nice talk. And then, Cecile, you translated for me. And then somebody was in the audience, and they are friends with the national chairman of the Chambers of Commerce of France. So we're going back to speak to 2,000 business people in Montpellier on the Riviera in July. You gotta translate, okay? I know it's gonna be a hardship. See, you don't go trying to call the national chairman. You don't try to find out his name and then wait outside his door and bug him. And, you know, you just don't do that. You just plant the seed. And then you go to Jakarta. And then some guy's there. You see what I mean? And I'm not, like, boasting. I'm just saying, I'm talking about a methodology, you know. Have a true concern that the people of Tibet should have good, pure Buddhist teachings. And then when the 3 years is up, there'll be a war. And it will block the road. And you get to have Atishah for the next 16 years. He never got back. He spent 19 years in Tibet. Okay? And just plant the seed, okay? Rinpoche says, Pabongkhu Rinpoche says, Jo Pebma Tupa ni Perchi Sunam Yimbare. Okay? Jo Pebma Tupa ni Perchi Sunam Yimbare. Jo is Jo. Peb means to go. Matup. Tupa means able ones, right? Matup means he wasn't able to go. The fact that he wasn't able to go is per, Tibet, right? Chi, like Chi Chedak, general, sunam, virtue, okay? Chi sunam of the Tibetan people. It was the general good seeds of the Tibetan people that he got blocked by a battle, okay? And he couldn't get back, all right? What I'm saying is just remember the battle thing, you know? And remember Nakto Lotsawa. He didn't have to have all this crisis and his longbow mind, you know? He just plant the seed and relax. Something will happen. Something weird will happen, okay? You can't even guess what will happen. You go to Jakarta, the guy's sitting there in a Chinese audience, you know? Like, what is that? So don't even try to guess what's going to happen. Just plant the seed and relax. And in this big watermelon, you get home and there's this big fat watermelon sitting there. Okay? And you, all the worry that you do is not necessary. All the decisions you have to make and the things facing you in your life, and just plant seeds. Take care of somebody else. Do something for somebody else. Then just relax. The money will come, the boyfriend will come. It doesn't, then go into Sephora with a blindfold on, you know, and walk down the aisle and just grab the first thing you feel and go home and put it on. And in that case, you have to help a lonely person, right? You have to be helping lonely people. I like to say you can adopt an elderly woman or something. So I have one. I have one in reserve. I've been taking care of her for 20 years or something. We go every time we go to Phoenix, we do something for her. And make the seed with a lonely person. You know, and we see her once every 3 weeks. I don't sit there in her house and take care of her. I don't have the resources. But as far as I'm able, I take care of her. And then that plants a seed. Then go to Sephora with your eyes closed and put on anything. And then the seed will be there and people will find you attractive and you will have companionship and you will find a nice partner. Okay? Just plant the seed, then relax. Okay? Probably they'll send you a sample in the mail. Okay? Okay, seriously. Okay, that's our Shindu. Let's take a... Do we take a break in the morning? We don't take a break in the morning. Okay, I'm not going to take a break. But let's at least do a meditation, okay? Then please come to your breath. Please try to be still. Then try to place your mind on your heart chakra. So at the level of your heart, in front of your spine, run your mind like a hand across that area and see if you can feel a bump or a ball. You might have to go up or down or left or right. When you feel it, then stay there. Then go inside the chakra and see a small pool of glass, liquid glass, your prana, your life's energy. And bring your mind back to your heart nama sitting in front of you. Then look inside them, under their chest. The whole body is liquid glass, not a tiny little pool. Their whole body is made of prana. Your whole body is made of light, clear light. And ask them to help you and give you life strength so that you can help others, that you can serve others. Ask them for a gift of their prana, some of their prana. And then this beautiful bar, like a pillar of prana, comes from their heart to your heart, from their chakra to your chakra. And it's flowing like water from a fire hydrant. It's clear like glass. And it's bursting from their heart to your heart. Then think how you have now more than enough prana, liquid glass, to share with others, yourself. You can be a net exporter of energy. You can, in any group of people, you can be the one who's excited and happy and serving the others. And then slowly come back to your breath. Ask your Lama to come to your heart, stay in your heart. And then you can open your eyes, stretch. So there are two things you need to do with your prana. You need to be offering it to other people. Match your breath and your prana movement up your spine to them. That's the first thing. Then the second thing, go to the gas station once in a while and get a fill-up from your teacher. All right? Those are the two things you need to do. In the next few weeks, months, okay? That's your big assignment, okay? And I like to do it like in the weirdest... I used to do it on the subway all the time. I had to take an hour and a half bus ride to Port Authority, then I had to take a subway down to Tribeca, and I would do it on the subway because there'd be so many tired people on the subway. The subway is gray and the people are gray, and they're exhausted, and I would just sit across from somebody and give them prana. Imagine giving them prana. Or you're standing up in the subway and holding on to those bar things, you know, and then there's just some tired person sitting there, and you could be like 2 feet away from them, and you're not even looking at them, and you're just sending them prana, okay? And it's a very beautiful seed to plant. Then you always have energy, okay? And it's just fun. Like, you could just read the advertisements, you know, that you've seen for 3 weeks already on the side of the subway, and Or you could give someone prana, and then you use your time. And it's very uplifting to do that. Okay. They don't have to know, but they will know, and they will sense it, and they'll be happier. Okay? They'll sense something's going on, and they'll be happy. Okay. Lotsawa Shindu Gane Ona Putin Marjun. So Lord Atisha said to Nakta Lotsawa, you know, it's not your fault. You know, it's an act of God, right? It's a war. We can't do anything about it. Then he's like, yay! And he says, let's go back to Tibet, you know? So then the Lotsawa teamed up with Dromden Jain and said, let's go back to Tibet, you know? She Shuni. Dene Joaputa Marjumba Tutache. It was decided that Atisha would return to Tibet. Dedu Lamdu Tupa Chungte Joopetma Tupani. Deta Joopetma Tupe Gyagadu Pangchen Zangne. Then they sent a Bangchen. Okay? A Bangchen is a synonym for a ponya. A messenger. So it's a tantric, it's a very important tantric expression. Right? And when they define ponya, they always say Bangchen. Okay? So Bangchen, they sent a Bangchen to India, to Ratnakara. Sorry. Neten Gikashin Jo Pelbor Den Dankyang. We were following, we were honoring our commitment. We did take Lord Atisha south, and we ran into a war. Machuki Denden Matupa. We couldn't bring him all the way down. Reshik Chirlok Pepku. So for the time being, we had to return to Tibet. Lardu Sing Jak Tsam Denden Shu Chokpa Dang. We will make every attempt to return him as soon as the war calms down. Joa put a pebne tenje kyan dindawadze. Then they wanted to appease the Indians. So they sent the book. They sent a copy of the book. Okay. They said, you know, look what he's been doing in Tibet. Something valuable. Okay. Dordun yang shindu chewe. It's of great benefit to all living beings. Raptu purdu shuk chopa. So wouldn't it even be better if you allowed him to stay in Tibet? If he could produce this kind of stuff. Okay. Shudar miyongam she. Shu Shuyi Dan Lamdun Joa Chagdun Lomashik. Then they sent a copy of the text that had been calligraphed Shufa by Atisha himself. He had written it himself. Ser Mamboche. Then they also sent a pretty good quantity of gold. Gagadu Zang. They sent it to India. They say Gyagadu Rangre Purdam and Dawa Lochiki Nandu Tenju Sarpakan Chuanam Panitanam Sok. So he says it's not like nowadays in Tibet. In those days, 1,000 years ago in India, you didn't just put books out at random. All the books were held for a year. And then they were all put out at the same time. But every book that was written, I'm talking spiritual book, okay, that was written. Every new book went to the wise men of the wise people of the country would have a meeting once a year, and then they would evaluate all the new books. Okay, then they would hand out page by page because the pages are loose, right? They're on palm leaf. So you hand out page by page, and it goes around the room, and everybody reads it and makes comments on it. Okay. Chapurishin Jala Tani. Same Rishin Signe Sigdun Lakin Mepanam. If there was no mistake in the composition, and if there were no mistake in the meaning, then they would approve it. Okay. My English teacher in high school, God bless her soul, Catherine Mortensen. Catherine. She made us write an essay every day, and then like 3-page essay, and then she would grade it for content, right? And then she would grade it for format, including spelling. For every spelling mistake you made, she took a grade off. Like it went from A to B. And you got like to F really fast. You know? And I was really upset. I remember complaining about her. But for 2 years, she taught us to write, you know. And she taught us Dante and Shakespeare and Milton. You know, she was like some, this old cranky lady from University of Chicago. So anyway, in India, the form is considered as important as the writing. Okay? In the case of Dharma, in the case of Dharma things, okay, then you should never cheap the Dharma. You know what I mean? Like that Tsongkhapa book. That cost a fortune. The big picture book. I mean, that cost a fortune. And we fundraised for it, so we wouldn't have to charge much money for it. But you should spend the money it takes to make it beautiful. And you shouldn't make it, like, cheap. You shouldn't put out fire Homa offerings on paper plates. You should go buy some nice crystal plates and do it up nice. And next time. Okay? And, I mean, should be, you know, it should be nice. Okay? And a book, it should be well written, and it should be edited well, and the Tibetan should be spelled correctly, and you know, you should wait until it's perfect, you know, and then the format should be beautiful, and the cover should be sexy, and the whole thing should be done like with Dharma. It's got to be perfect, okay, and the meaning should be perfect, you know. Like they published he went to the hospital over working on it. The last three retreat teachings. So they thought, oh, we'd like to publish them and get them out by this 3-year retreat teachings. So they like send me a list of. They didn't just print it. They said, oh, this looks like, we want to make sure these things are correct. So they actually sent me a list of things to check to see if they're correct, which I really appreciate. And then they and Jigme worked on it. And then they demanded that I check it. And then, of course, I didn't check it till the week before. That's where he got into the hospital, I think. And then they stayed up all night and cleaned it up and got it published by the morning of the three-year retreat teaching. Okay, but it was beautiful, and they did it. They made sure it was correct and accurate and spelled everything correct and beautiful, and then they put it out, okay? And that's the way it should be, okay? With Dharma, that's the way it should be, okay? Someone had him up. Then they would offer it to the king, who would give the author a reward if it were both meaningful and well done. Tenjide Kabdel Che Chokpa. And then the king would issue a declaration that this book could be spread. You know, when I say it to you, it feels like censorship, you know. But when I heard it from Rinpoche, I guess I don't know if I'm expressing it correctly. It was beautiful. It was like having the Dalai Lama check a book and say, you know, this book is cool, like that. I don't mean to say some kind of, what do you call it, Inquisition type of thing, where you can't write a book unless the church approves it and imprimatur, right? So I think there's a distinction between when it gets to be bureaucratic and, you know, small-minded people are telling people what they can write in spiritual books, and then having the comfort of knowing the Dalai Lama checked a book and said this would help people, you know. And so it was more the second thing, okay? Yeah. We're getting there. It's true. Ken Mepan Nam Gyabala Shite. Kyabdala Shabu Chope. Dildak. Chikjor Lekyang. If the composition was flowery and sweet and nice, Dun Na Kyen Ye, but the meaning was defective, which pretty much describes American literature. Just kidding. Rikki, that kind of book, they would tie it to the tail of an old dog and chase him through the street. And you're talking like muddy streets, you know, like that's where the manuscript would be stored. I don't mean to say all American literature is useless. I've read some beautiful, like the secret, what's it, mystery, history of bees or something? Secret Life of Bees. Now, like that's a classic, and it's a novel, and it has a great meaning, and it's very helpful, and it's uplifting. And so I don't mean to say it all has to be Buddhist philosophy, but you know, there are books that are just harmful for people's minds. You know, most of what Ningbo reads, manga. We give each other science fiction books. We buy them in airport bookstores, and then we share them together. And personally, I think science fiction, especially the star traveling kind, is very uplifting. So books are empty, right? I mean, whatever uplifts you or inspires you, that's okay. Whatever makes you a better person, why don't we say that? Then they would tell the king, look, this book, we don't approve of this book. And then the author would be disgraced and nobody would buy their stuff. So it wasn't necessary to do that kind of examination of Atisha's book, but they still kept to their custom. They still said it has to go through the process. Pandita Jel Tangne. So they handed it out in among the meeting of the panditas. Girtane. Lamdrin Shopu Sumbo Dein Nangdu Kad Dogyu Tamche Ki Ja Matsama Mepa Dune Tenching. Then all of the wise people gathered there came to a realization that in these three pages were contained all of the open and secret teachings of Buddhism in three pages. Then there's a phenomenon, there's a beautiful phenomenon, it's called Damgatushar. Say Damgatushar. Ka? Damgatushar. It means, like, every day I get up here and we open this Tibetan book. This is the original, right? And then Rinpoche gave me a copy of this book that was his own private copy on Tibetan paper when I became a Geshe. And I don't know who took it, but if somebody finds it, I would appreciate it. This is some cheap offset reproduction. But anyway, the words are the same. It's in a yellow cloth with black polka dots on it. It's very distinctive. All right, I think Lama Pelma stole it. Anyway, he's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure, and I can't say, but what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so I don't get to this because I have a better version here from the database. It's more clean, and it has all my notes, like about Ashvajit and Shariputra. By the way, the big deal about that story, I forgot to tell you. So Shariputra met that monk who looked so cool, and then he saw ultimate reality, right? He walks down the road and runs into Moggallana, who's the other great disciple of the Buddha, who wasn't a disciple yet. He was just a wandering mendicant. And Moggallana, whose name is Kotila at the time, catches sight of Shariputra and says, he walks so nice, he looks so kind. You know, and then the whole story got repeated. And then Shariputra told Moggallana the same verse. And Moggallana saw emptiness directly the same day. And that's how the two disciples of the Buddha. Then they went to the Buddha, and the Buddha said, "You're a monk." And they suddenly their hair fell off, and their beard fell off, and it's not going to happen to you, Nick. Don't worry. so he's more of a Vajradhara
He's third stage Buddha. He's already ahead of that. So then, that's the story of how. And then, those of you who don't know Shariputra, he's the one who's the hero of the Heart Sutra, right? He's the one who says a lot of the stuff, most of the stuff in the Heart Sutra. Okay. Anyway, God Damba Shava means we always open up the book because it's convenient. It makes you impressed. And it's a good place to put my notebook on. But I always try to read a line. I just try to see. In Tibet, it's considered a, what do you call it? It's almost like telling your future for the day. Like you take a holy book and you go like this. Let's do it. Okay, this is your prediction for the, how about for the whole post-retreat experience? I hope it's not something about your mother. Lama, wow, Yidam Koincho Chunsa Makyazuja. I go for refuge to my Lama. Okay, that's pretty good. So that's Ka Damba Sharwa. Ka means scripture. Damba Sharwa means you open it up and then suddenly it's boom, it hits you. As if it were personal instruction. You open a book at random and you get a secret message from your teacher. Okay? And that's Kadampa Sharwa. And that got abbreviated to Kadampa, which is the name of the first Tibetan, the first Buddhists of our lineage. We're called Kadampa. Okay? It means people who open books at random and got private messages from their Lama. Okay? Kadampas. Okay? Wow, you guys did really good. Okay. Usually I get like... this was printed, you know. Okay. So that Kadampa thing happened to the guys who were checking his book. Like the whole thing was Kadampa. They're like, boom, wow, he's talking to us. You know? Puta Pepe, Puba Namla Lepa Mase, Nge Gyago Namla Shinto Lepa Chum. Tamje halene, hal say hale, hale, ha means wow. Okay, ha means wow. I'll teach you the Tibetan word for aluminum. Say hayang, hayang. So I heard this story. Somebody offered the 13th Dalai Lama an aluminum pot, right, from India or China or something, and he picked it up and he said, ha yang. Which means, wow, light. Okay? Then they named aluminum Ha-Yang. Okay? Wow, light. Okay? So, so then all the Indian wise guys were like, ha! This is amazing. This book is amazing. Halene Din Chikdu unanimously said, not only was it good for the Tibetans that Atisha went to Tibet, but it turned out to be the best for us too, because we got this book. Okay? It was the best for India also. Okay? Cho gyago dushuna gyago wa nam shirab dan simba chewe tenjanila dhamma mitsung. When Lord Atisha was residing in India, he never gave a teaching like this because the Indians were too intelligent and had too much effort. Okay. But the Tibetans, Lenjing Chundujum, they're kind of stupid and lazy. So to accommodate them, he had to write a short book. Okay. But he had to pack in all of Buddhist knowledge in a little 3-page book. So it's so great that he went to Tibet. Because otherwise we never would have had a book like this. Okay, Puta Shupa Langaja Mangasumbe. Everyone was like praising, singing their praises of his trip to Tibet. Neten Ratnakara, and also that old grumpy Ratnakara, he was, well, Pandinanam Kikyang Ngaja Detadze. Well, everyone seems to be happy. All's well that ends well. You know, Jo Yam Puta Shupa Lange. I guess it's all right that he stays there. Drodunyan Dunche Wadayun. Seems like it will help even more people if he stays there. Jo Puta Shupa Chopa. So he gave his permission. that Atisha could stay in Tibet. Kutsap dilamdun dila rangdel shikzene koshom. But then he sent a message to Atisha. He says, we need, we need someone to stand in for you. So could we have an auto commentary? Could you write a commentary to your own little lamrim? And that will be you for us in India, okay? Lamjun dila rangdel shikzeme kosho. You get to Jovanan, Nakso Shinduga. Nakso was over, what do you call it? Okay, I'm going to tell you a dirty joke, but don't repeat it, okay? So we went to Bulgaria, and we gave these teachings. And especially our staff, the DCI people, did an awesome job there, like Mercedes and Ningbo and Naomi and people like that. They all did a great job, Jigme. And then we asked the participants in the retreat to write us for 3 weeks and tell us that they're doing their meditation every day. They're supposed to email us every day. They don't always do that. But anyway, we got an email from, I don't know the guy's name, but it said, Dear Mercedes, I'm oversized with pleasure. And we were thinking to call our next album Oversized with Pleasure. she claims it was Google Translator. So anyway, Nakto Lotao was oversized with pleasure. At the successful outcome. Okay, I don't want to see this in the newspapers next week, okay? People do that. Then he said, that old man from India had put a load on me as big as a mountain, meaning get him back in 3 years. And today, that load was taken off my shoulders. Okay, he was really happy. He was oversized. Tengsan, tengyo to the shupe rangdel to drakpa. Then Pabongkwa Bache makes a side comment that nowadays there is a book in the Tengyur which is said to be that auto commentary, but it's not. He says, Hle de shuk. Hle de shuk means somebody got a hold of it and stuck in some of their own ideas. In Tibet, it's called Hle de shuk. Hle means, what do you call that when somebody, like, they, I was in Ukraine. Oh, well, anyway. They cut up medicine with something else because it's cheaper. That's called Hle. What do you call it? It's adulterated. So he's Pabongkwa Bache said, beware of the version in the Tengyur. It's adulterated. Somebody later stuck in their own ideas and ruined the book. Okay, so we're not going to do that, right? Okay. Not there, Juju. We got like 7 more minutes. Hang in there. Yin means there is. It's corrupted. Yimbare means, it seems like that. It's like yimbare. Is he going to come today? Yimbare. It seems like. Okay. It means he's being careful himself not to criticize something that might be, you know, conceivably could be the original. Okay. Okay. Deta jowa usu jimbar niewa na. Oh, this is a cute story. Okay. This is short. So they said, well, why don't we send Lord Atisha to central Tibet, which is now the center of power in Tibet, right? It's Lhasa is in the middle of U. U means central Tibet. So the kingdom shifted, especially in the time of the fifth Dalai Lama, to the center of Tibet, out of the west of Tibet. The great facilitator went ahead, you know, to buy the oranges and the almonds and find a blender that would work on central Tibet electricity. Then he met the great, he met the leaders of central Tibet and said, Then he said, I would like to bring Atisha to central Tibet, and I think it would be appropriate if you send him an invitation.
Okay.
So then, that he should come quickly. Then there was a lama named Shakya Wangchuk, and his name is Kawa, meaning he was like a pillar of the community of central Tibet. He agreed that they should write a letter to invite Lord Atisha to central Tibet. So they finished writing the letter, and then there was a lama named Khutun, and then he said, "Nge ming mindu, nge ming mindu, nge ming mindu." You left out my name on the invitation letter. Okay, so you know, Khutun's like, "You left out my name." Then they said, "But we put La Sopa." La Sopa means etc. You know, you're in the etc. He said, "I don't belong in etc's. You know, I'm a big lama, and you know, I shouldn't be in the etc's. You know, because in Jumbe Umi Namin Shengun Na Jumbe." So he got on a horse and ran off to try to greet Lord Atisha before the rest of them got there. Like, Atisha's walking to central Tibet. He jumps on a horse and tries to outride everybody else. Then they all jump on horses. You know, all these big lamas jump on horses. And they start, like, chasing Khutun. You know. Then Atisha looks up and there's this, like, what do you call it? When horses go, there's a, when they break out of their corral and there's a stampede. He's like, ah! You know, he's like, there's a stampede coming at him, you know. They say, Then Lord Atisha, he had his sen, right? This is called a sen, right? So he had his sen on. Not like me, he had it on all the time, probably. He said, "Demons are coming. There's a stampede of Tibetan demons," and he covered himself, and he covered himself. Then all these lamas jumped off their horses. Then they put on their robes, and then they greeted him, you know. And then Atisha was pleased that they had come, and he did a chaklin. Chaklin is a beautiful custom, like someone's bowing to you, and then you go like, you acknowledge the prostration. It's like, you know, some kind of like thing like this. His Holiness is really good at it, right? Chaglenze. That's a good place to stop. Okay? So the central Tibetans have almost stampeded. I was there when His Holiness came to the United States the first time. We brought him. We went to the White House. We got permission for him. We got him his visa. His first visa. He was refused a visa for many years. Then we had a friend in the White House, and we got him a visa. And then, so he was flying into JFK. And then the Mongolians found out that he was coming in our community. So they rented, like 300 people got on buses. They ran and rented some buses. And they ran to the airport. And then they crushed him. They almost hurt him because they were all wanted to be first to touch him, you know, and it was really funny. Anyway, same thing. Are you ready?